money news on 2GB, thanks to Industry Super Funds. Turn your super into an income stream and grow your income in retirement.
Yeah, welcome back to Money News right across the country. Great to have your company. I did mention earlier on that I felt in some ways where South Australia seems to be going right now with energy reminds me a little bit about desalination plants, bit of panic from politicians. Now, remember, Victoria spent $3.5 billion on its desalination plant in Wonthaggi. And, of course, New South Wales at the time, Labor government influenced by Greens, spent the best part of $2 billion. At least that's what it was sold off by the New South Wales coalition government when it got into power and sold it off to Canadian pension funds. It's never operated as a desalination plant for a day in its life after its proving in period. Just absolutely incredible. Anyway, tomorrow there's going to be a meeting of all of the various gas companies with the Prime Minister and also for the Minister who is responsible for energy and environment. That man is Josh Frydenberg. And given what's taken place in South Australia today, I thought it was good to get him on the phone, have a quick chat to him about what happens here, whether this really is the answer. Josh, many thanks for your time.
Nice to be with you, Ross.
Okay, so first up, South Australia and the Premier announcing a $550 million deal. We've just been speaking with the Australian Energy Council Chief Executive Matthew Warren, who says it would have taken a fraction of that money to have kept the Northern Power Station open, plus also its associated coal mine. It would have protected jobs. It would have meant that really South Australia would have been immune from some of the problems it's got. And now the government seems to be going down what seems to me to be at least, if not a fanciful folly, then certainly an economic folly.
Well, this was a $550 million admission of failure, the announcement by Jay Weatherall today, and going it alone created the problems for South Australia, and going it alone won't solve the problems for South Australia. The Australian Energy Council is right to the extent that the headlong rush into a 50% renewable energy target in South Australia helped push out the coal-fired power generation that was coming from that northern power plant. Alinta said as much in their press release. We also saw the mothballing of Pelican Point, which is a gas-fired power station in South Australia. And now we've got a situation where the South Australian government, very concerned, as it should be, about energy stability in that state after the blackouts that we've seen, announced that they will go it alone by creating unilateral powers in the energy minister to intervene in the market. And I'm very concerned as to what that will mean for consumers, not just in South Australia, but also in Victoria, New South Wales, and in Tasmania, which can be affected by decisions that are taken in one state but impact the others.
Because we have a national electricity grid, don't we? And therefore, as a result, we have an Australian energy regulator who is a national federal regulator. So, therefore, decisions that are being made at a state basis could certainly have an impact on the national grid.
Well, Ross, on the 29th of September last year, the day after the blackout in South Australia, Tom Kitsintonis, the energy minister in South Australia, went into his parliament and said that the national energy system was working well, had served South Australia well. And now he's taken a decision to basically unwind that national energy system. Now, the energy market operator has always, for the last 20 years, worked on the assumption that they would deliver the lowest cost power across that national electricity market, which runs from Port Douglas in Queensland down to Port Lincoln in South Australia and across the Bass Strait into Tasmania. Now we have a situation where a decision in one state can be taken by their politicians, which would have a negative effect elsewhere. And that is not a good outcome.
So what you're saying is that the South Australian decision to spend $550 million in this fashion could actually push up the price of electricity in other states. And you mentioned in particular New South Wales, Victoria and Tasmania.
I'll give you one practical example. The interconnector provides brown coal-fired power from Victoria into South Australia. They've announced today that the energy minister wants to have the power to direct the energy market operator in relation to that interconnector. So one situation may be that they want to get more energy over that interconnector into South Australia. That would mean less energy in Victoria, and Victoria helps supply power at certain times into New South Wales or into Tasmania. That's not a good outcome for the demand-supply balance in Victoria or indeed for the consumers in New South Wales or Tasmania.
Because one thing we do know, Josh, is on the very hot days when power is in short supply and so the prices spike, there's already allegations out there that there's question marks at least as to whether the energy markets are manipulated, the electricity markets,
yes,
and whether those spikes are artificial because people are trying to play the market, as it were, as distinct from providing the electricity to the community in a timely manner. So this, again, would be another issue where maybe one state is trying to drain electricity at the very peak periods out of other states.
Well, we realise that the situation in the energy market needs to be improved. We recognise that the system was built for one which was centralised with coal-fired generation predominantly, but also largely gas. And now we have a situation where you're getting more renewables into the system, more people have solar panels on their homes, so it's decentralised, they don't rely on the grid as much, and we're getting more interconnection between states. So why doesn't South Australia stick within the system, Ross, try to improve it, because that's what they signed up to, rather than going it alone? I think it's a dangerous precedent, and I'm concerned about it, and I've said as much to the South Australian Energy Minister on the phone tonight. There are some good initiatives that they've announced, like more money for battery storage and giving more incentives to landowners to develop gas fields on their properties, and of course, trying to get more gas into the system. But this go it alone, I'm concerned about, and I think it will have negative impacts across the rest of the grid.
Okay, tomorrow you've got all the states coming in, yourself and the Prime Minister, trying to work out what can happen with gas around this nation. It's quite clear that policies in the past that saw all of the gas, particularly from Queensland, diverted through Curtis Island and then offshore, is having now an impact on consumers and business, especially up the east coast of Australia. What can be done through these meetings to try and make certain that gas is not in short supply and prices do not go through the roof over the coming years?
We'll be looking to the companies to give us a sense that they will put more gas into the domestic market. Currently, two-thirds of the gas we produce on the eastern seaboard goes to export. We recognise that the market is very tight, and that's because of the greater exports we're seeing, but also because of the moratorium that we're seeing from some states on the development of conventional and unconventional gas. So we want to hear from the companies that there is a willingness on their part to put more gas into the domestic market, because we rely so heavily on it, not just for electricity generation, but also as an input into the manufacturing process.
But won't they simply come back to you and say, well, listen, that's fine, there's plenty of gas out there, you've got to stop Victoria from closing up all of the onshore gas exploration that they have done, you've got to stop similar things in key parts of New South Wales, and you've got to build pipelines that actually work to bring gas in from the Northern Territory into the East Coast? These are all clearly the answers. That's what they're going to throw straight back at you.
Well, they know that we are working on those reforms, and we are pushing those states with moratorium, like Victoria, very hard. They also know that we have succeeded in getting some significant reforms through the COAG Energy Council to improve the pricing of transport of gas through the pipelines with more competition and more transparency. But they also know, Ross, that they're sitting on a lot of gas reserves that they haven't developed. And we want them to develop those resources faster than they otherwise may have done so, in order to provide the domestic market. So they're the discussions we'll be having with them tomorrow, and hopefully there'll be a very positive outcome for consumers.
All right, we'll have a look at that. We might have a chat with you tomorrow evening if you're around the place as well. Josh Frydenberg is our Minister for Energy and Environment, and always great to have you on the program, Josh.
Thanks, Ross. Nice to be with you.